This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome, dear listeners, to She Excels. I'm your host, Amy. I'm excited for our show today. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. So we are on She Excels, and this is all about helping every woman know that she was made for more, created for more by the Lord God Almighty. And here, what do? We call women higher, because God has called you higher to live with vision, to walk in purpose, to build mastery, and to shine with excellence. At She Excels, we help you discover God's blueprint for true success, not worldly success, success that comes straight from the throne. Amen. And that is success by the book. The book is the Bible, the only success book that helps you win in life and also win in eternity. Many of the success books we find out here help us to win just in life, but we are going higher. We are going higher. We win in life and in eternity. Whatever we do here spans into eternity. So I want to remind you again, this is your time. This is your call to go out and do it and succeed excellently for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So She Excels, becoming the woman God designed you to be. And I'm your host, helping you get there, just as I get myself there too. Our iron sharpening iron, together we are going. Today we have an amazing topic we are going to be unpacking, and it's just a follow-up from last week's session, looking at revelation plus execution. But we'll be looking at it at another angle today. So I'm just going to say, this is what we're going to be talking about. You're called, you're anointed, and now you need to be tested for service. Many people don't like that word test, but testing is what is going to bring out the oil. We are talking about called, anointed, and now tested for service. And that word test is a word we don't like. And what I like about our, you know, Christian community, we say without a test, there is no testimony. That's a cliche we just say, you know, but that's the truth, you know. Testing is important because testing brings about refining, it brings about solidifying, it brings about, you know, planting pillars to help to keep the structure, to test, is the structure, you know, able to stand the wind, the floods, the rain, you know, it needs to be tested. So I want to just assure you that you will be tested this year. You know, when you say, I'm going to do this, the enemy will not just sit down and say, okay, okie dokie, that's good. No, he's going to come like a flood. He will come like a wind, but that's not to scare you, but just to know that each of those things just strengthens you and grounds you even in the determination to keep going. Even when you feel as I'm giving up now, this is too much. That is a testing of your faith. That is a testing of your faith. That is a testing of your assignment. Were you really called to this thing? You know, there was this story of, I don't have it in my preparation notes, but there's a, when Jesus came and the high priest were discussing about this man, Jesus, like, this guy has come and people are following him, I'm paraphrasing, and everybody, then one of the high priests told them, we'll see how this far this thing will go, and gave examples of, do you know this one who came and did this and that, and later on he died down and so on. How far will you go with what God has given you? Can it go through the fire? Can it be tested? You know, God himself will test it. Let's not just say the devil. God will test it. He will test your commitment. He will test your obedience. He will test, you know, to make sure that your heart is refined, to see, is there pride in you? Are you carrying out this thing with pride? Are you carrying it out for self-glory? God will test everything so that it is pure. It is gold. It is acceptable to the master. Whatever we are working on, we want to present it before the Lord. You know how Jesus presented his disciples in that his prayer in John. So, Lord, these are the ones that you gave me, you know, they're in the world and so on. And prayed such a beautiful prayer for them that was just presenting them to the Lord. And he was satisfied with the work he has done. Even God announced Jesus and when he was baptized, after he was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Because Jesus's heart, it's true, he was God, but he had taken on human flesh, meaning that he was susceptible to sinning and doing the things that we are doing. Yet he lived on earth without sin. And he had a pure heart to be able to present what God assigned him to back to God. Say, "I have brought you glory. So you'll be tested. I want you to just embrace that and say, it's good for me. It's good for me." It's good for me. Hallelujah. So you're anointed, but that anointing will be tested. There's this other guy. Let me not say this other guy. It's John Maxwell. Somebody attended one of his programs and said, "I would like to do the things you are doing. I want to have the same kind of audience. You know, many people coming to listen to you." Then John Maxwell said, "Oh, okay. Are you ready to do what I did? That is making me do the things I am doing." That is a catch there. That is a catch. And that doing of what he did not come easy. It was the testings, the misunderstandings, the heartbreaks, the, you know, losses, all the things that come with growing. The baby who is learning to walk falls many times. Testing if the legs are strong to be able to continue. And when the legs are strong, you see him, he will walk and walk very soon, run, and then start jumping. You need to watch them go through that process. It's amazing. No parent will say, "Hey, don't walk again. You're going to fall." No, let them fall and walk. It is strengthening them. Amen. So the anointing begins between you and God in a quiet place, the sacred place, in the obscured fields of life, in the unseen battles where there are no applause, you know, given to you. There are no crowds watching, but that's not where you're going to remain. You need to come out to the field and be tested, you know. Let's take, for example, David. David was anointed in the presence of his family, just a few people, right? Israel didn't know that a king had been anointed like that. Only Samuel and God knew, and his brothers and his father. But he went back to tending the sheep. He went back to tending the sheep. He went back to doing mundane things. And he's like, I'm sure he's asking, what was it about all this anointing thing? You know, there is an anointing. There is a calling, but there will be a testing. He was tested, even advised to kill Saul. His men said, "This man who has been making your life miserable, yeah, he is in the cave. Nothing stops you from killing him. Just put your sword through him." David said, "I will not kill the Lord's anointed." He could have done it. Wow, this is an opportunity for me to become a king. I will do it. That would have been a very wrong hat, and that would have gone ahead of God. So God tested his ability to stay on his lane, remain faithful, and wait for when God himself will put him on the throne. You'll be tested. Some people want things quick. Give it to me quick. Give it to me now. I don't have time and I have places to go. No, God will test your patience. Wait for the harvest. Wait for the harvest. Joseph dreamt and had a very beautiful dream, seeing himself as a leader, leading his father's household in private, in his home. He saw that dream alone. He did not announce it to the whole world. But he was tested in Potiphar's house and tested in the prison, because the call on his life was a leadership call, was a strategic leadership call. Somebody who is able to see a problem and solve the problem and bring fruit out of chaos. That was the leadership anointing that was upon Joseph's life. He was able to save many nations during the time of famine because of his strategic insight that came from God. But that did not just happen in one day. He didn't move from the dream to the leadership position in the government of Pharaoh. No, he went through Potiphar's house as a slave and the prison. He was tested. You need to allow God to take you through the crucibles of life that will bring about the pure gold that is in your life. there are jewels in you. The Bible says we have these treasures hidden in jars of clay. It's inside. You need to be to go through that fire so that the best of you comes out. What God knows is inside of you. I want you to, there are these scriptures that will back what I've just been talking about. Samuel 16, 1 Samuel 16, 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. He was not yet king. He was not sitting on the throne. He came powerfully. He was anointed. But there was a journey towards that throne where there were lots of tests. Genesis 39, 3 to 4. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, so he put Joseph in charge. Joseph went through the testing of leadership, leading the little they gave him, and then he was made in charge of leading Potiphar's household. So I want you to know that there's going to be a testing. There's going to be a testing. Give yourself, open up yourself to that process. Do not run away. It's easy to run away. But when you run away, you've aborted the process. That process is for your good and for the good of those who will get from you what you have been through. That comes out with life. Life flows out of a vessel that has gone through the crucible of fire to test and authenticate what they say came from God. And that's the kind of life that produces life in other people. When you have not gone through the testing, you've not gone through, you don't know what you know, what you know, and you've not lived and experienced what you're talking about, chances are that it will not give life to other people. When Jesus went through the cross, the Bible says there's no temptation that comes to us that did not go, that Jesus did not experience. I'm putting it in my own words. So Jesus understands our humanity. He was tested. Coming to earth alone was a big, big risk. But he came to feel what we feel so that he knows how to redeem us, so that he redeems us from a place of, I know I can, I feel what they feel. I've been through what they have been through. And I can tell them, you can live a life that pleases God, even if you were bound by sin before. He came and broke the chain of sin over our lives by his death on the cross. And now we are set free. It came through Gethsemane, Calvary, and everything, the rejections and all of that. So I want you to know that in this year, you will face those circumstances. Either is the enemy throwing his curveballs at you, or God taking you through his crucible just so that the oil comes out. When you squeeze the olive, the oil comes out. And we love olive oil, right? But it came through the crushing and the pressing. So I want you to get ready and prepare your heart for that. And not shy away from that. And say, Lord, this is good. I need to be tested so that I'm grounded in that assignment. We're talking about an interesting topic here. It's a difficult topic. You know, many of us don't like the testing of our faith. You know, when the Lord tests us just to refine us and make sure that that which comes out of us is life-giving. Is life-giving. I want you to desire that what comes out of your life is life-giving. And for that to happen, we often go through difficult patches, you know, in life that God orchestrates. Sometimes even the enemy orchestrates them. He says he works out everything for our good. So even when the enemy orchestrates some difficulties in our lives, God will work that out for our good. So there's always a working out for our good when we go through trials and testings that affect us fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. And many people who have aborted the purpose of God for their lives because they faced a difficult patch, you know, and that die-hard commitment died somewhere because things became so overwhelming. And I would lie to you if I tell you it's all roses, you know, to live a life that is given to fulfilling God's purpose, because the enemy will come after you like a flood. He will come after you like a flood because he knows that what you carry is a life giver. It's a life giver. He came after Jesus like a flood, you know, and it was difficult to a point where Jesus was sweating and it was blood that was dropping out instead of sweat. I want you to know that the devil does not want you to release what you carry. That is one part of it. But also, God will not allow you to release what you carry when you have not been groomed inside. Your character has not been refined. You know, the fruit of the Spirit has not been developed, because you cannot just put things out there. You must be that woman who can testify and stand on what she's saying and say, I've been there, I've done that. You know, I'm not just speaking from knowledge, I'm speaking from experience. And experience comes with testing and trials and knowledge and going over hurdles and learning how to go over hurdles and learning to keep your head above the waters, even when all hell is against you. Think about Job. The Lord told the devil, have you seen my servant Job? He's just an amazing man. There's no one like him. I mean, Job loved God. Job was not ready to give up God because of the pain in his body, the calamity that befell him, his business, his children, everything was lost. Job was just hanging on the thread of his life. The wife said, curse God and die. Job said, I will not do such thing. But we allow good, only good from God, and not allow evil also. Well, that's how Job perceived it. Job did not understand the discussion that is happening in heaven on his behalf. There are discussions happening in heaven on your behalf. And the Lord is proud to present you before the enemy. Have you seen my servant Annie? Have you seen my servant Julie? Have you seen my servant Jackie? Have you seen my servant Elsie? Have you seen my servant Suzanne? God is proud because he knows the assignment he's put on your life. You're going to work it out. You're going to sweat it out. You're going to do everything you know to do. Learn all you know to learn. You know, become all you have to become to get it done. And he's proud of that commitment. And therefore, the enemy say, no ways. I'm not going to let her do that. I'm not going to let her go there. I'm not going to let her say that. Because when I look at the ripple effect of her life, I see multitudes being saved. I see multitudes being realigned and restored back to God. I see many people being delivered and healed. I see many people stepping up and waking up from places where they have been discouraged, and they are getting hope again. I don't want these people to have hope, but if she rises up like Deborah, a mother to the nation, a nation will be set free. Sieges will be broken and people will be free and liberated. I don't want that. And that's where the testing starts coming. Also, the testings come to see how far you've gone, what you know, what you do not know. You know, if you think about it, most professions, before they give you the right to practice, you're tested. Even in our schools, before they tell you to move to grade 2 from grade 1, you write a test. You write a test. And the knowledge is tested, the understanding is tested, and so on and so forth. We'll talk more about this later. But I just want you to know that what you carry was never meant to stay hidden. And like, I'm not doing anything about this because if I do this, then this will happen. No, no, no. The testing must happen. You must leave that quiet place. You leave that sacred place and go out and start executing. And as you start executing, you face all these giants. Then you learn how to defeat the giants. And then you continue executing and growing and growing and growing. You don't stay hiding. You show up, you shine. You show up, face the giants, face the giants, face the giants. You know, David knew how to kill the bears and the lions in the wilderness. And when he came and saw this Goliath defying God and the army of God, he said, this cannot be. I have learned. Let me see if I can try it on a human being. You know, I'll test it and see. I'll try. I'll do it. I know God is with me. And he went. He did not say, oh, this is not a lion. This is not a bear. Let me just leave it. No, no, no. What he learned in the hiding, even though it was bears and lions, he says, that same God who delivered me from this, who delivered me from this Philistine. You know, one of the things that we must know is that the devil will change his strategy in attacking us. And also, let's now, because we're looking at the test in different dimensions, and God will also change his strategy of pruning us, because he prunes those who bear fruit. So he knows that if he prunes like this today, you bear it. Say, no, now it's winter season, I'll prune differently. It's summer season, I'll prune differently. So depending on how you grow and the new levels you get to, there'll be different prunings so that you can keep excelling at every level of your assignment. Hallelujah. Yes. So this is Goliath, a different type of battle. But David said that God is the same God. It's the same God. It's the same God. Hallelujah. It's the same God for Daniel. The same God for Deborah. The same God. And he is a God of multiple strategies. And he's going to give you the battle strategy for that next battle. But you must go and learn to fight. You must learn to fight. Don't stay hidden. Even Joseph, called to leadership, you know, it was not the dreams of Joseph that validated him as such. It was the performance that validated him, what he did. You can dream all you dream. Write the dreams down, keep them in the book. That's not what gets things done. As you leave them out, that is what will show that you are the woman for the job. So when Joseph had these dreams of him leading, he had to be tested. He went to Potiphar's house as a slave. He would have been crying, oh my God, I'm a slave. Why am I here? And then he will moan and moan and moan. No, he says that even in slavery, I will demonstrate that gift of leading. And he led. Potiphar saw him excel in that one. Amen. He went to prison. He was lied to. You see how the devil is doing? Lying now, lied. The other time the brothers did what? Sold him as a slave. Now Potiphar's wife lied about him. Different attacks, but he didn't give up. In prison, he said, I'm still going to lead. This is a test, I will lead. And from the prison, he moved on to interpret the dream of Pharaoh and go past the interpretation. It was not about the interpretation. It was a strategic advice he gave Pharaoh. The Pharaoh said, whoa, if you can explain this, then who else is a better person to give to execute it? He has learned to lead and lead and lead. He'll be able to lead a nation to deliver that nation from famine. So I want you to know that it's in the field where you are working, where you're testing and trying, that you grow and people see and they appoint you. Your anointing is one thing, but in the field, executing and being tested and proven to be the woman for the job is another thing. And that is what God is calling us to. Think about David. David's anointing oil, the anointing oil on David's life from Samuel did not just take him from there to the throne, right? When Goliath was defeated, when he went and tried what he had learned in the wilderness by the help of God, because the anointing was on him, and that same anointing was on him, and he tried with Goliath, and it worked, and they saw him. It was a different test. It was tough. Everybody was retreating. They didn't want to fight Goliath. He said, I'm going to fight. He was tested to see, is that anointing going to work now? With a stone and a sling? Wow, it worked. It worked. He now, his faith in God just became stronger, because he said, God can use me even with little means. Amen. So when David was talking to Saul about what he has done, he told Saul, I killed both bears and lions. What's your testimony of the process you've been through, the experience you've been through? There has to be a testimony that somebody can trust you with the next assignment. That you've been through the fire and you're still standing, you're still talking. You've been through hard times in the family, but you're still standing, you're still talking. What have you been through that you are still standing? That is a proof that the Lord is refining you and qualifying you for the job. Amen. So I just want you to go with this as we wrap up this session. If no one sees your work, how will it point them to God? How will it point them to God? And many of us are afraid to go and work because of the test that is there. There's a lion outside. I can't go. In Proverbs, go and face the lion. You are not anointed to sit. You are anointed to go out, to display the goodness of God through the works of your hands. The little you know, try it. The little you know, do it. That's what God is calling us to. We are talking about something that is a very difficult patch on our faith walk, on our purpose walk, on our walk towards excellence, you know, becoming the woman who excels at what God has called her to. the place of testing, the place of going out and trying it out. Many of us have been called by God. We've been anointed. We've been told that this is it. But we are afraid and we say, no, we are not good enough. We are not able. We are afraid of failing. We are afraid of trying. And that has kept us where we are. You would have been further along according to God's blueprint and God's map for your life. But you've been standing and waiting, sitting on the anointing, doing nothing about it because you are afraid of the test that comes with it. No, the test is bringing out the oil from you. When you go and practice, the experience is teaching you what should happen, what you should know, what you should do, and what you should not do. Because if you don't try it, how will you know? How will you know? Part of the training is found in the field. That there's a training that is happen that will happen in the closet, in the sacred place, you know, in the time alone with God. But there are those that will happen in the field. David was never a man of war, fighting men. He fought animals. But the first day that he brought Goliath down, he was enlisted into Saul's army. If he didn't bring Goliath down, he wouldn't have been enlisted into Saul's army. And that would have not given him an opportunity to be in the palace and serve and see what palace life looked like, because that's where he was heading to. Sometimes the places that God sends us to that look so difficult, that is where we are heading to. And if we conquer it there, we will be able to conquer it elsewhere. Sometimes the places that God, the people that God allows to bring come our way, that they challenge us, they make life difficult. Some of our disciple makers, our mentors, our coaches, they are hard on us. Yes, that is the squeezing. Because where you are going, you need to be strong. You need to let out that oil. And God sends those people who are hard to cut and prune and challenge you so that you are and become that woman that who can be trusted with beautiful things from the Lord. You know, during our devotions at home, we're just being reminded that if we are not faithful in the little things, who can entrust to us that which is ours? If we don't know how to take care of another person's thing, how are we able to take care of what is ours? Think about Moses. He learned to take care of his father's sheep, and God saw a man who has qualified to help a nation, to take care of God's people. So in the field, you have the training. The training is also in the field. When the doctors learn in school, you know, they attended all the biology courses, botany, zoology, you know, neuro, what, I'm not a doctor. They do that learning, but I cannot give my child to somebody who only knows. I need to give my child to somebody who has practiced. And not practice that they are now called doctors, but they have practiced on their way to become qualified doctors. So they don't just teach them and fill their head with knowledge. In the course of becoming a doctor, they have opportunities to go to the field and bring that knowledge into reality and actually give the right drugs, actually diagnose the right sickness. Oh, you're able to diagnose that is it. That's correct. But they had to go and learn to diagnose, because when they will be on their own, they will need to do it well. Maybe you need hands and help right now while you're walking towards your promised land, but you will get to be on your own soon and you will need to fight. You will need to fight. The Lord helped the Israelites, you know, on the giving them food, manna and quail in the wilderness. Once they crossed the promised land, quail and manna stopped. They had to fight. They had to eat from the land. They had to go cultivate the land. So that's a journey. There is a journey, but this is a good journey. It's a journey that you are becoming a woman who is the woman for the job that came from the Lord for you. So you need to embrace it. So David didn't wait to be perfect. He showed up with a sling and a stone. And by the power of God, trusting God's power, he brought Goliath down. So don't wait to be perfect. Many of us say, I need to study this. No, the journey of the doctors, I'm taking them as an example. They go through different phases. And on their way, they keep doing the things they will be doing. and somebody is supervising them. That's why we need mentors and coaches, you know, disciple makers, pastors, people who we are accountable to help us walk this pathway, people who are interested in our development and interested in God's calling on our lives, who want to see us succeed and are not going to let us just embrace mediocrity and stay there and become lazy and idle and passive and then kill what God has given to us. No, you need men. You need a social capital around you, men who help you in what God is calling you to, who will call you out and say, hey, like the priests in those days used to do, they call the kings out and the prophets, call them out. You're doing this thing, it's wrong. The Lord says I should tell you this. You know, there's one of these kings, I don't know what his name is, because I didn't prepare for that this when I was preparing for this. But the Bible talks about him serving the Lord as long as the priest was alive. The power of discipleship and mentorship and coaching, as long as some people are alive, are in your community, are in your life, you are going forward. You're going forward. When those people come out of your life, you just are seeing a decline. God has placed people in our lives, in our Christian world, we call them destiny helpers. They are there to push us forward and call us out and command us to kill whatever is going to kill the call of God on our lives. And encourage us, you know, there's time for encouraging and there's time for chastising to bring us back to order. We welcome all of them because it's for our good at the end of the day. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the disciples. The disciples were not theologians. They were not theologically trained, but they showed up. They showed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, the Lord filled them with his Holy Spirit. He said, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? Men who never knew anything about teaching the Torah were teaching hard truths from the gospel, linking it back to hard truths through the gospel and linking it back to the Torah. And when people saw them, they say, oh, these men, Acts 4:13, and they were unschooled, ordinary men, but recognized as those who had been with Jesus. The training is important. The training. Get yourself to be trained. Face the testing. The test, and allow the test to prune you and give you the experience you need so that when you're relating your story, you're not telling people things that you have just pulled out of your head. You're telling people what you've lived and overcome. And that gives them hope that they too can overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even Jesus, at some point, he sent his disciples out when he was still here and told them to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And they were like, wow, they had to be trained. He needed to see that they were capable of taking over when he left, because the Holy Spirit can come upon you and you still sit down. So the Lord sent them out and they went and he said, hey, Lord, when we saw this happen and that happened, it was like, yeah, great, great. But remember, I want you to rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That's the ultimate purpose of God, that we make it to heaven, that we make it to heaven. Whatever plan, whatever assignment God has for you, if that assignment is not linked to you finally making it to heaven, then it didn't come from God. It didn't come from God. So make sure you're running with a divine assignment. Even if it is in the school, in business, in what, it should always take you back to God, because that is where you received it. You go back and check with him and keep going. It keeps your heart aligned and in communion with the Father. So you need to allow yourself to be trained. You don't have to be afraid of the testing of your faith and your gifts, because it will test your gifts. Do you know how to do this? Try it. You can be anointed and gifted in a particular gift, but you need to develop that gift before you can deploy it. You need to go through the training of that gift. You have to train as a teacher of the word, train as a prophet, train as an evangelist, train as a pastor, and you learn on the job, and you try it and fail and stand up again. You need that so that the fruit will be good. Amen. So the call here for you today is show up with what you have. Use what is in your hand. Start where you are and let God multiply what you offer. Don't be afraid of the testing. If the enemy comes, pray and cast him out and tell him to stop. But know that God will work everything for your good. Don't make decisions that will make you throw you into the enemy's camp. Amen. So some reflection questions as we close. What has God placed in your hands? Where are you hiding? Who needs to see the evidence of what God has put inside of you so that he can call it out? What small Goliaths are you afraid to confront right now? In what area do you need to start showing up, even imperfectly? Even if you are doing so imperfectly, in what areas are you going to start showing up? Amen. Because your anointing will grow with obedience. Your ability will grow with more deployment. And your influence on others will grow with more visibility. When Saul saw David could kill, he recruited him. When Potiphar saw Joseph could lead, he recruited him. When the prisoner saw Joseph could lead, they recruited him. When Pharaoh saw, so there's a scene, visibility will give you more room to keep learning and experiencing. Called, anointed, and now tested for service. I know our God will always test. He will test how it took David, anointed at 17, to only sit on the throne at 30, a long time of testing. How many of us can withstand that? But it is necessary. By the time he was on the throne, he had his mighty men. Ha! Men who had been through a lot. They were strong men. They could fight. And that's what David needed in his army. The whole of David's reign was a reign where he was fighting and fighting and fighting. Imagine that he prematurely took himself to the throne. He would not have had the mighty men to fight. And he would have not learned how to train men to fight. From a guy who was never enlisted in an army, and only got enlisted because he brought down a giant, became a war man and a man who won many battles for God. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Somebody who had never been an army before. God can change you. God can make you become whom he's calling you to. You've seen yourself small. You've seen yourself incapable. Don't worry about that. The training will make it happen. You must go through training. I want you to embrace that. Embrace that. And if this message of today has really blessed you, we want to hear from you. We want you to stay connected to Radio Cape Pulpit. We have an app. We have a WhatsApp line. We also have email. So you can WhatsApp us on 081-729-1657. That number again, 081-729-1657. And you can also email us at info@kpulpit.co.za. We would love to hear from you. And if you are that woman who has decided to declare with us every day for the last 21 days. Today we are on day 19 of our Get Dressed Challenge, and we have these daily declarations we are declaring. If you want the declaration, please just send us a DM on the WhatsApp line, Dressed for Service, with your name and your email address, and we'll do our best to get it to you. It's not too late. We are on day 19. You can start even today and give yourself 21 days to declare that you are becoming the woman God called you to be. Thank you for joining me today again on TXLs. I'm your host, Annie, and it has been my joy being with you. Until next time, keep building, keep becoming, and keep excelling God's way. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.